Welcome to the Winnipeg Game Podcast, episode 322. I'm Steve Borsch, and I'm on with the Ely-bound, or Ely there, Graham Thickens.
Yes, greetings from a very hot Ely, Minnesota.
And Phil Wilson.
Hello. I feel like I'm at Shakey's Pizza or something.
Yeah, nobody remembers Shakey's.
For those of you under the age of, I guess 40, we'll probably not know what Shakey's is.
No idea what you're talking about. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Shakey's was fun, though. Oh, gosh. I used to love Shakey's.
Well, we used to go there sometimes when we got done playing softball, and there'd be like 35 people, and it'd take them like 8 seconds to bring the pizza out. So, you know, it was just all sitting back there waiting.
It was fresh, right?
Yeah, it was fresh.
It was fresh.
Oh, God. I think what they did is they just heated up the meat and threw it on an already baked pizza is what they did.
It was the Mojo potatoes that I recall. It was basically fried slices of potato.
Interesting.
All right. I'm putting in a Wikipedia post on Shakey's, so you'll see that in the show notes.
Yeah. Good. You know what? Instead, why don't you tell us about mini demo there, Phil?
I got to put in the Shakey's thing. Hang on a minute. Yeah, mini demo was a good time, as always. A crowd.
First things first.
Yep. A crowd, of course, is always anticipated at mini demo. It was another full house at the depot. You know, I got to tell you, Graham, without you being there holding down the cocktail lounge, I don't know. It just wasn't the same.
I have tried to actually get in and see some of the pitches in recent times. I know
really?
That's radical, but I actually have seen, I think I saw upwards of half of them, which was probably a record for me. But at this one, it would have been interesting to hear some of the ones that I didn't know about.
Uh-oh, Graham's having a stroke.
Carl Lemon, who was sorry to have missed me. I'm having a what?
Hey, it sounds like you're having a stroke only because the connection, the wife. Well, no, he's on a mobile network.
Oh, your mobile network there, whacked on there for a minute.
The connection.
Yeah.
I'm on AT&T 4G, baby. Yeah. We got towers all over up here in Ely. They just love them up here.
They look a lot like trees. Yeah.
Well, so Phil, I'm wondering about I'm wondering about some of the standouts. Like, I was really curious about Nerd Planet.
No.
Online do-it-yourself computer management. Okay. All right.
I felt sorry for the Nerd Planet guys. They had problems from the get-go. They couldn't really get a decent presentation up and running. It sounds like it's sort of a Geek Squad online. So.
Okay.
Nothing really great. As far as standouts go, I looked at, I really enjoyed Aurora Wearables, and that's Christina.
It is. Okay.
And Christina's Dervish, and she's got a tweet sash and a tweet skirt that she was showing off. She wasn't looking for money. She wasn't looking to start her business. She was just basically showing it off. And she did a great presentation. And I think, she said to me afterwards, it's like, when you're not really trying to get anything out of the deal, it's a lot easier to do.
And probably more fun.
So, some of the familiar stuff there, Little Peanut on the Go, which if you've been to any demos or mobile demos or mobile presentations lately, that company has had a lot of showcasing. It's basically an assistant and an organizer for parents who have small children and want to, provide, some easy access. So.
Well, yeah, and planning for trips and so forth. I blogged about it on Minovate.
Kid Around Town was an interesting kind of concept of trying to integrate your outings with your kids into an app, and I thought it was really well put together. A friend of mine, Robin Winters, showcased some of the 3D architectural stuff that he's been doing at Warm Winter Arts. He just moved here from the UK to restart his business, and that was interesting. The one thing that I noticed and felt about Mini Demo this year is, well, there was only 7 presentations for one, and I thought some of the presentations were a bit of a stretch as far as, not... Yeah, they were, I mean, I guess I shouldn't say a bit of a stretch. I think they were sort of the roots of Mini Demo, which was just show what you're working on rather than pitches for, we're a startup and we want to make money sort of thing, which yes. is sometimes what I think that Mini Demo has turned into. But I really enjoy the fact that it's like, okay, well, we don't really have anything to sell. We're just showing you what we're working on. So, and that's okay. That's what really a demo should be. So,
yeah.
But as always, a huge crowd. Probably half the crowd were first timers, which is insane to me. I was like, where are these people coming from?
Really?
Yeah. Huh. But it was always great.
South
it was great
Dakota
to catch
and
up
Iowa or what the hell?
Yeah. I'm not really sure, but it was a lot of fun to catch up with everybody. So another successful Mini Demo. I'm wondering if because of that, a lot of the repeats like Little Peanut, we've seen also elsewhere around town. I'm wondering if they need to step back and rather than try to do 4 a year, try to do 3 a year or something like that. Or yeah. 2 a year.
Well, I'm still sad that there aren't any selfie stick demos.
Well,
nobody's invented
originally
a great selfie stick that you could smuggle into museums and stuff. Hey, let's make an invisible one, that one that can cloak itself.
There you go.
What do you think?
Yeah, we need more selfie sticks.
Yeah. Well,
nope. So anyway, another, and again, it's always great as Graham knows, it's great to connect with a lot of different people that you know, and maybe don't know, and network with those folks. I was talking to Melissa, who's one of the project managers over at Exocyte, and they were very excited because Exocyte just got an infusion of investment. I don't know if we have that on the list here of things to talk about.
Yes,
but that was a big deal.
You did a nice post, Phil, about a woman that I did not know personally. I hadn't met her. Rebecca Schatz.
Yeah, Rebecca passed away. Yeah, she's been battling cancer for quite some time and lost this round, I'm sorry to say. But Rebecca is the founder of Code Savvy, which has spawned so many other things, like, for example, Technovation MN, which we've talked about greatly on this show. Gene Weiss is stepping in as the Code Savvy executive director. So I don't think we'll miss a beat, but we will definitely miss Rebecca. She was... Yeah. She was very inspirational and a bit of a driver. I got to tell you, she kept us moving
forward. Kept you on your toes. Huh?
Oh my God. Yes. You know, so, I wish I'd had a chance to spend more time working with her, but, I'm sorry to say that she didn't pass, but, I think that she's left in place a lot of people that are equally passionate about encouraging young people to get into technology, minorities to get into technology, the less fortunate to get into technology, and especially women. So, so good for her. And I hope she's in a more pain-free place.
Yeah.
So on to other news. This Code 42 CFO has jumped ship to go work for the old CEO of Best Buy.
And I did either of you guys ever meet him? I never met him.
You
at any
you
event,
Graham?
Or anything?
Oh, we must have lost Graham.
Well, he's still on.
Not coming in.
He's
very,
probably taking a break.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But John Bristow is
Jason.
Jason Bristow. Yes, you're right. It's Code 42 CFO is now going over to, what is it?
What's the
name? Upsy. That's it, which is Brian Dunn's company, CEO of. What did you see where did I see the story about it that was, I think it absolutely made no mention. I think it was the blog for Upsy. Actually, it made zero mention of his time at Code 42.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah, it's just absolutely no mention of his time at Code 42. It's all about Amazon. He used to be with Amazon. So I found that very interesting. So But anyway.
Well, you know, and the Upsy thing still looks pretty interesting.
Doesn't it though?
Yeah. Yeah. That they're going to, potentially do quite a bit. Cause you know, the one thing that continues to strike me is how important it is to, have, you know, Apple Care or the Best Buy extended warranty or something, or AT&T's or Verizon's, cause we're carrying around these very expensive, very relatively fragile devices. And I know so many people, cause I feel it. And it was so funny to see my wife do this too, where she couldn't find her phone and I saw panic set in,
mm-hmm.
you know, cause I mean, it's just, I mean, there have been times every once in a great while I'll take off and, you know, we'll be at some store and all of a sudden I'll realize I don't have my phone. And it's like, oh my God, you know, so it's a good thing to have a warranty that you can count on.
Well, we'll see.
So we'll see how they do.
But yeah, it is if you go to the Upsy blog about it with the Jason Bristow joins Upsy board of directors, it has no mention of code 42 in it whatsoever.
That's funny.
It's like, guys, you can't really kind of just skip over something resume. So, but interesting that, you know, that's another, you know, C-level person leaving code 42.
Right.
Can I add a little correction to what you were saying? You guys couldn't hear me. I could hear you, but you couldn't hear me. He didn't join Upsy, and Upsy isn't Brian Dunn's company. Upsy is a guy named Clarence Bethea, I believe it is.
Okay, well, we'll release that whole part.
Yeah, he recruited Brian Dunn to his board, and now this Jason Bristow has joined the board, but he is not working for the company. He's not an officer of the company. No. And that Upsy blog announced it, and apparently Kathy Grayson at the Business Journal wrote the story then, citing that blog post, which you're right. I don't believe it did mention anything about
code 42. So it seems like, so he's still with code 42?
No. He's definitely out of code 42. And the CEO, the new CEO, said nice things about him, but he said something like, people leave growth companies all the time and we wish him well, and he served us well, or blah, blah, blah type of thing, you know?
Well, so and, I'm sure he's being compensated for his board position though, right?
Oh, at Upsy? No, Upsy is a really early stage startup. No,
yeah, they probably get warrants or something.
Well, of course, there would be something like that, Upsy. But compensation.
Call it whatever you want. He's working for Upsy, for Christ's sake. So,
well, no, that's not technically true. And I specifically asked that question yesterday of another board member, but who knew all about it, of course. But anyway, Barb Stinnett is a board member too, Steve.
Oh,
so,
great.
Anyway, yeah, but you know, we talked about this with respect to Code 42, that this guy is going to come in and create a whole new regime. I mean, now maybe it won't be every C-level exec,
right,
but he's going to bring some of his own people. That's pretty much guaranteed, you know, and maybe that's what's coming, is a new CFO that he wants to bring on.
Yeah, that would make sense.
Has experience taking a company public. Which this guy may not have had, although he was with a public company with Amazon, but apparently he's staying here in town. I hope he does.
Well, yeah. So he'll spend his money in the Twin Cities.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Well, that was a confusing story then. Moving on.
Well, there you go.
Another
angel investor.
This next one makes me want to follow digital trends, this news site,
because you want to redo your dorm room.
No, but this is, I thought this was really fabulous. So Target, you know, the headline is Target can now scour your Instagram photos to help decorate your dorm if you want. Kind of a bad headline, but essentially what it is Target rolled out a new platform that lets students take a quiz and then they can use their Facebook and Instagram profiles and photos from Instagram and so forth to get advice on how to best decorate their rooms. And so the quiz also asks them about their hobbies and color palettes and music preferences, all that stuff, and then puts together recommended palettes, of course, from products that you can buy at Target, which is great.
How handy.
But I think this is absolutely fabulous because, you know, the one thing that is really clear with virtually every guy that I've ever met is none of us have a decent fashion sense or coordination you know. Okay, hey. You may be an exception, but I got to tell you, after having been married to a woman that does color specification for the home furnishings industry and knows everything about furniture and all this stuff, what was that? It must be a bird up in Ely, a bird of prey coming after Graham.
Yeah, that was an electronic bird flying over.
It was a drone.
It was a drone.
But I will tell you that it is... really fabulous. I would love to have had an app that I could take a phone picture and then send that in and then have it recommend other products that would coordinate.
Really?
Oh God, I would have loved it.
Really?
Yeah. Even now I'll buy stuff or I'll tell my wife, I go, God, that would just look fabulous in her living room. And she'd look at me like I have three heads. No, no, it wouldn't, Steve. And here's why. And it'd be like, oh, okay. Thanks. Appreciate that. I mean, I get that all the time. So guess what? She goes ahead and she picks the paint colors and the furniture. I'm the one that does everything with the technology. So
your labor, though, when it comes to the furniture.
That's right. That's right.
Your labor.
No, slave labor is what it is.
Yeah, exactly. So it's another interesting application. I thought it was
pretty cool.
Okay. So, well, I don't know. For me, a dorm room is milk cartons and planks of wood. So, you know, what do you need for that? You don't really have a lot of choice from, you know, what kind of milk cartons.
Well, I'll tell you what, my friend. Have you been to the University of Minnesota and looked at all the upscale housing that's there now?
Good Lord. It's crazy.
Oh, my God. Alex, my son Alex has a buddy who's got an apartment that, frankly, is better than the first condo I lived in. And he died.
I know.
I mean, it's just like... Holy crap.
It's nuts. Yeah. It's nuts. How about we come up with a way to lower tuition? That's what I would like to see.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Wouldn't that be good?
Yes.
Actually, more people could actually go to the university without having to take on insane debt load.
That's right. Yeah. So what is this next story?
They probably want more money because they're...
Yep.
Yeah, exactly. What's this other story here now about some...
Glitch HQ.
Glitch HQ. I haven't heard of
this. This is something that the university is actually putting. It's sort of an incubator for game developers. It's a, you know, it's like a Coco for game developers.
Oh, which
Glitch HQ is. Yeah. So they have residency programs and things like that to encourage students to get into the gaming industry. And Glitch is sort of this also on the rallying cry to get people to to try and make the Minneapolis sort of a game developer hub or a gaming hub of some kind. So I found it kind of interesting, and I noticed that they've got an event coming up the first part of August that Martin Greider is going to be at. I think you guys know Martin's got Abstract Puzzles is his company, and he's done a lot of iOS work and just a really great guy. So I saw he was speaking there, and this looks like it'll be interesting, but again, it very much looks like a Coco for game developers.
Yeah, it's a good way to put it. Well,
it's located.
Go ahead, Graham.
It's located.
Okay.
I think over on Riverside Avenue, I believe.
Yep, right across from Carlson School. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and with Destineer here, they've got Maxsoft and Bold Games and Atomic Games, and they've published a bunch of different great titles and so on, and so they're here. But also Activision, my son's got a buddy who just is going to Activision with a part-time job because he's also in college. And guess what he's doing? He's getting paid to test video games.
Oh, how tough is that?
Yeah.
That's like a internship. Well, that's a dream internship, isn't it?
Well, it is, but guess what? He has to log every single thing he's doing and all of his reactions. So
kind of takes the joy right out of it.
Yeah, it would. It would kind of take that out. But this is the what's really fascinating is it wasn't until the former CEO of Nintendo started a college for video game design and development up in Redmond, Washington, that that whole area started to explode with respect to colleges. There's now 10 in the U.S. that offer a video game design and development degree. And so, because, you know, I mean, it's bigger than the movie business. So, of course, in L.A., the University of Southern California has a whole digital gaming area that kind of spun out of their film group. But up in Redmond, the Seattle metro area, there's something like 130 companies up there that are, you know, very ongoing concerns that build and deliver gaming. And it all came because of the Xbox and what was happening. So maybe this will really spark a community and could be pretty interesting. So,
Okay. Nice.
So what other tech stories are going on out there? I was bummed about Apple kind of dropping a little bit their stock price because, disclaimer, I own some. So
yeah, but they're doing all right in China.
Well,
the revenues are up in China.
The revenues are up for now.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I mean, how bad is the stock market crash over in China? What's that going to do to people's disposable income or willingness to buy luxury goods?
What, in China?
Yeah.
I don't know that there's a lot of disposable income in China, so.
Yeah.
I don't know. I jest.
All right. So we're talking about the Apple China revenues, but then, you know, Gene Munster predicts 3 million Apple Watch sales, thinks 2017 will be the device's breakout year. But then I read another article that said the analyst's consensus estimate was 4.2 million watches have already been sold. So what's up with that?
Huh. Well, you know, estimates are all over the place. No one knows.
There's
absolutely no way. But I thought the consensus was more down around 2.5, and so Munster would be off. But certainly he's not alone in saying 2017 will be the year. And or what did he say, 2016 or 2017?
2017.
Yeah.
But you know, Tim Cook and others have followed and said, you know, it's going to be a big gift for the holidays. And I guess that'll depend on how the native apps shape up this fall.
I don't know if it'll be huge. I don't know. I think that it's going to have to. I think that the web or the watchOS 2.0 is going to have to prove itself first. So I think the timing may not necessarily lend itself to a huge Christmas gift.
Plus,
I think the price point is still a little spendy.
Yeah, well, that's certainly true. But anyway, Cook has gone on record as saying that now, you know, that he thinks it's going to be the big holiday gift. So we will see. You have to remember, it's only in something like how many countries? Is it 16 countries? By the end of the year, it will be in 100 countries, I believe is what I read. So, I mean, this thing has had very little penetration. It's been supply constrained a lot. It's only been in the frickin' stores for what? Is it a month now? Is it even a month? I mean,
exactly.
You could pre-order in April, and you know, I got mine April 29th, and I love it. I forgot my damn cord to charge it up here in Ely, but other than that, I love it.
Well, you know, it's my doc, who's just a geek with technology, and every time I come in, he'll try to carve out a little bit of extra time so we can chat about, you know, what I'm seeing on the iPad or iPhone or Android or, you know, whatever. And he was the one that told me about AliveCor, AliveCor. And it's basically a mobile ECG. And what's interesting about it is they just got FDA approval and they also have an Apple Watch app. And so they're sort of positioning this thing as something that will be able to, at some point in the not too distant future, predict heart attacks. And so that you know, there's a lot of opinion pieces around that and all that, but you know, that's kind of the promise of the watch, right? Is that that'll happen. And that,
yeah, you know, the health stuff.
The health stuff will be so profound that everybody will just say, oh my gosh, I have to have one of these things, because it's just, I mean, why would I not? Right?
Well, yep. We'll see.
Yeah.
Yep.
We'll
and
see.
And expense or cost won't be such an issue for those sorts of things, obviously. And also for, you know, diabetes monitoring and all. I mean, that's a huge, huge number, the millions of people with diabetes, you know, and blood pressure and all of that, you know, is going to come along a lot further than what it is now. It's still the really early days.
Yep.
Or it could be the next Google Glass. You never know.
Well,
or how about Google Plus Photos? That was another one that they just flushed.
Or I mean, Google Wave.
Oh yeah, that was a biggie.
Remember how excited we were about that, though?
Yeah, we were.
Oh my gosh, everybody! But
then
was
again,
like,
we got over it.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, like everyone life else. Went on.
Yeah, we got over it. Anyway,
well, I have to tell you though that one of the other things is this article about Apple Watch door unlocker, and you know, it's a hack, and it's funny and all of that, but you know, I'm really seriously waiting for HomeKit to kick in, and because I can control my SmartThings hub right now with my Apple Watch, and that's, you know, it's somewhat useful. I mean, every once in a while, it's kind of nice to be able to turn a lamp on with my watch. But then I realize, you know, it's much easier just to walk over and push the button on the module than it is to open up the app, you know, do the watch, you know, go through like 8 clicks to be able to do it. You know, if I was like 900 pounds instead of my svelte, unpublished poundage, I'd probably use that more.
Svelte unpublished poundage.
That's right. Well, anybody that knows me knows I have washboard abs. They just can't see them.
You just can't see them. They're covered.
They're under
protected.
There.
They're protected for safety reasons.
That's right.
You got so tired of women clawing at you. It's just, you got to cover up those abs.
Actually, that hasn't happened after I got rid of my limousine of minivans, the Chrysler Town and Country that I had back in the 90s when the kids were little.
That would
make a great Minovate remote unit.
Yes, a love machine. You're right, Graham. What would I do without you?
The Minovate remote
unit loves, number 18.
And love machine. There we go.
Oh my God.
Hey, I was just going to say, now before we get off the whole Internet of Things and the, you know, smart home and the HomeKit piece, don't tell my wife, but I ordered an Echo. So,
oh, you did?
Yeah. So we'll have to see what happens if it weirds out my family or not.
Well, I've got
she'll know soon enough when you start yelling things out, you know.
Yes.
Like, cancel my Ashley Madison account, Echo. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Well, Graham, I've got an unpublished hack that I found on the dark net, and we can drive over and park it near Phil's house and try it out.
Did you guys watch Jimmy Fallon last night?
No. No. Mm-hmm.
You know how he does these popular Google searches or whatever he calls it?
Yeah.
The funniest one he did was, how do I cancel my, the number one was, how to cancel my Ashley Madison account. Number two was, how do I delete my search for canceling my Ashley Madison account? And number three was divorce attorneys.
Right, exactly.
What a story.
Yeah, that is quite the story. Nothing's really ever been released, though, yet, right?
I don't know.
Is that just going to go the way of... oh, it was a, you know, lame threat or something like that. I don't know. I say that because I have no worries about having an account hacked.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
No, I certainly don't either, but it's fun to read everything about it.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Well,
but speaking of hacking,
what we need is a security tip. That's what we need.
We do.
Sure do. See security tip of the week.
Okay, if you insist. I have.
We do.
Okay, so all three of us are on Macs using OS X Yosemite. And so because I pay attention to the whole security space and especially zero-day hacks and all that kind of stuff, I was very dismayed to see that there is a hole that was put into OS X Yosemite. You know, obviously not on purpose, but somebody could sit down at your Mac and exploit it and get a user permission, or you could inadvertently go to some website that loads malware and takes over your system. So here's the problem. Apple added a new variable in OS X Yosemite without the usual safeguards that are required when you add support for new environment variables. And so it's possible that a hacker or somebody, some malware site, could use this variable to set the user ID for root level binaries. And so basically what that means is, you know, they could set file permissions, which would allow them to execute a script as if they were the owner of the script. And they could also put in a rootkit, which would essentially allow them to take over the entire machine. And so the article that I had read about it in the Register, the UK publication, was called "Get Root on an OS 1010 Mac. The exploit is so trivial it fits in a tweet." So it's under 140 characters.
Oh my.
And it freaked me out so bad that I looked at some other code stuff analysis that had been done by some other people of this guy that had this German guy that had a company that had come up with the analysis of the exploit, but then they also had a fix, and they created something called SuidGuard, you know, the set UID guard, and it's a quick little analysis, and I'm going to put a link in the show notes. So if you want to close this before El Capitan comes out or before Apple does an OS X update, it'll take you 3 minutes. You don't even have to restart your machine. You can download this SuidGuard. And you can make sure your Mac is protected because it'll close that that little hole. And that's my tip.
Okay.
All right.
Let me ask you this question.
Yeah.
You go to GitHub to download this this script, this fix. How do you know you're not downloading something that is in and of itself is malware?
Well, so there's, without getting too deep into this, there are signatures for these downloads, and you can look at the hash and do a comparison. I mean, I'm not going to go through it now because there are too many steps.
Okay.
But maybe I should publish something, because if you want to, because that is the concern.
Sure.
You know, that you're going to download something. So, you know, so for example, when I download the Tor installer, I actually compare it to the published hash so that and there's a little utility I can recommend that, you know what? I'll do a post. I'll put it.
Yeah. That sort of brings up an interesting thing. I mean, so clearly, you know, Steve, you especially, and maybe Graham and I are technical enough to realize what is malware and what is not, but to the average consumer, you know, to say, I mean, is there a strategy in place to say, okay, I'm going to, you know, publish this story that says there is a serious security leak, whether there is or not. But if you want to make sure, run this script. And the script in and of itself is the malware.
Right, right.
I mean, does that happen, Steve, in your world, in the, you know, the dark web and in the security thing that you follow? Does that happen on a regular basis?
The answer, not on a regular basis, but the answer is yes, it happens. And the biggest fear always is if you're sitting in public Wi-Fi and you're not running a VPN that somebody could execute a man-in-the-middle attack, and you think that you're on the actual real website with the real links, and you're clicking on what appears to be the real link, but in fact, it's actually coming off of the machine that's next to you, you know, that some good hackers got. And and so a man-in-the-middle attack can be so good that you're being served web pages that appear to be from Wells Fargo, for example, but are actually not. You know, a page pops up that says, you know, we have a new security thing and you need to do this, download this and install it. And it's actually coming from the hacked machine. That's one of the reasons I use VPNs, for example, whenever I'm on public Wi-Fi. But the biggest thing is to compare it to the hash. But of course, if it's a man-in-the-middle attack, they could put a fake hash up there so that the fake file is actually hashed. So, I mean, you know, it's like, this is hard stuff. It's really hard stuff. So,
interesting.
Yeah, right. I think we should just turn the internet off. Then we don't have to worry about it.
Sure, why not?
You know.
Oh, my, there's an answer. That means I could actually cancel my Netflix, my Amazon Prime. That would be great.
Yeah, think of the money you save. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, yeah, the environmentalists up here in Ely would love it too.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I saw a great billboard on the way up here for Ely. You know, by the Chamber of Commerce, is this week, or something about emails will go unanswered. And the world will not come to an end.
You never know.
At the bottom, it said Ely, Minnesota.
There you go.
So, you know, they'd love it up here without the internet.
I like it. Listen, let's talk a little bit now that we got the security tip out of the week out. Let's look at the cool thing of the week. Graham, I don't know if you've had a chance to find the cool thing of the week. It may just be that sign. You never know.
I actually have, and I can't enter it into the show notes, but you want me to tell you what it is?
Yeah, yes. Would you?
It's a study, I think, out of Australia, because I read it on your favorite site, Phil, Business Insider, Australia. Oh, somehow I've subscribed to the Australian version of Business Insider, which if it's possible is even more cheeky than the American version. Anyway. There's a study out. So this is not a thing. It's a study. It's not it's not a device or some geeky thing. It's science says sleeping on the job should be part of work. How's that for a headline? Huh?
I like that.
But I'll send you the link, Steve, so you can put it in the show notes.
Okay.
It's worth reading for sure.
So is it because you're more productive when you get better sleep, or what is it? Or
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's nap, you know, and, you know, at Coco, well, you know this well, Phil, there's that, the whole pit area is beanbag chairs.
Yep.
And there's people taking naps in them all the time, which I think is great.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you gotta get a little shut eye, you know, maybe after lunch, you know.
Well, when I was at Lawson down by the cafeteria, there were two rooms, four rooms. One of the rooms was for nursing mothers if they wanted privacy. And then the other rooms were pods. So you'd go in there and they were like those egg pods and you could go in there and, you know, meditate or just sleep.
So, I'm glad you said meditate. I was a little worried there when you said
meditate. Medicate or meditate?
Yeah, well, that too.
Wow.
Yeah, if you've got to do your heroin or morphine on
right, job, that's the place to go.
That's right. That's right.
Or weed. Right. Or weed. Was there a weed room?
A weed. Oh, there you go.
No venting. All right, Phil, your cool thing, buddy.
My cool thing. I love this feature because I get to start scouring the web for cool stuff. But Zip Buds is another unique way of keeping your earbuds from tangling.
Oh.
It basically turns your earbuds into a zipper. You can actually zip up the two lines together and you have just one line. I thought it was a rather unique thing.
That's very clever.
Called Zip Buds. And they're $24.99. Now, I can't tell you if the audio is worth a crap, but I thought the presentation of the buds was interesting.
Yeah.
So check it out.
Very cool.
Yeah. That's a needed thing, man.
Wow. Well, so my cool thing is I bought a second one of these for $75, and it's a PNY Turbo 256 gig USB 3 flash drive. And you may say, why do you think, Steve, a flash drive is cool? Well, it's because of that new router I talked about last week. It's got a USB 3 port in the back. My old Apple Extreme had just a USB 2. And I wanted to put in storage that we could use to share stuff around the house. You know, for example, various installers. I was always throwing them on a thumb drive so I could take them around. Or logging into my machine to download. All of it was a pain. Well, now everybody's sharing this 256 gig drive. So I throw installers on there, and either, you know, the kids or my wife can install, or I'll go around and install stuff. And I'm not making it available to the outside world yet, so I can't get into it from the outside because I really have no need to do that. But it's just so stupidly useful that I just thought it was cool. Anyway.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is.
Well, I think I still have one of your PNY drives here in my hot little hand. So,
really?
By the way, yeah, you'd lend it to me with a Yosemite installer, and I still have it.
Oh, so, well, you can return that anytime, Phil.
I know I can. It's like, I think it's a 10 gig stick. So it's like, how do you remember when 10 gig, you never would have thought there'd be 10 gig on a stick. You never.
Oh,
so now it's like, there's 256. It's like, holy crap.
Yeah, amazing.
Well,
yeah.
All I remember was when I was repping Apple back in the early 80s, and I'm trying to remember when it came out, the profile hard drive. We had one for the Apple Lisa at the time at work,
mm-hmm.
and it was, get ready for it, 5 megabytes.
Wow.
And we thought we died and went to heaven.
Oh, that's a lot of power, man.
Oh my God, 5 megabytes. Anyway,
love it.
Yeah.
Well, the times are changing. Yeah, exactly. So, what's going on this week as far as, or what's coming up is, you know, I did put that that Rally Cry video games, which is happening at Glitch HQ. That's coming up on the 6th of August, and you can get tickets via Eventbrite for that. If you
want, great.
Check that out. So, anything else new?
What's this MinSearch event? What it takes to move the needle in 2015, well, July 29th.
Yeah, I got an email from them because I'm on their mailing list, and mm-hmm. so I thought I'd put it in the show notes.
Interesting.
Yeah. I mean, all I know is what the email said and all that, but it's by some inbound marketing expert, Sujan Patel, and he's the VP of marketing of When I Work. And that's the company
that guy's a sharp dude. Yeah,
Ed Kohler works for When I Work, right?
You're kidding. He does?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
What's he doing? What's he doing?
I can't remember. I may be totally wrong, but
it's a hot company, and that guy, that VP of marketing, relocated here from the Bay Area for that job.
Oh, really?
Huh. Yeah, and he's a great blogger. I would go hear that guy. I just may do that.
Well, you know,
plus,
my
there could be a free beer in the mix too. You
never
know.
You go. That's
well, my wife is saying that, you know, at some point when we move into our third half of life, that we are exploring different places, and she's hot to move to Texas.
Oh my God!
Because we'll save 8% state income tax.
Oh my
and,
God!
Well, that'll make a big difference when we start pulling money out of our 401k. And the only place I would live
in
Texas
for Christ's
it would
sake.
Be Austin would be the only place. But here's the kicker is you know, with climate change, there's no question that temperatures are going to go up and water is going to get more scarce. And we got a lot of water up here. And so, you know,
you don't want to get thirsty down there in Texas.
No. Oh, well.
Okay.
But other than that, I think we've covered everything.
That's it. But, you know, I'm sure something will happen in the next week. And, of course, we will talk about it on
the Minivate Gang Podcast.
We will be all over it.
Take care, guys.
See you at Shakey's.
Ha 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 ha!